I can visualize Peter recalling all the incidents in his life. I can think about what he did, because I think I relate quite well to Peter. I remember the first time that I had a date with Rosemary. It was a really special day. And I remember the time that we took a trip together, and following that trip, I gave her a pearl to say, I'm really, really interested in you. I remember going to Backbone State Park, or no, to Ledges State Park, and hiking with her and giving her a diamond and asking her to marry me. I can also remember the day that I asked her father if I could marry her, and he said no. That was a real bummer of the day, but I also remember a couple months later when I asked him again, and he said yes, with a qualification that she had to finish school. Those are all good things that I remember. They have real fond memories. But I also remember in my life times where I've really messed up and haven't done things the way I should have done things. And I remember the forgiveness I've received. So I relate well to Peter, and perhaps you do too, relating to a man who tried to do what he knew was right, and yet at the same time was struggling with the failures that he had in his life. Peter was a man that was very much like us, and when you think about the day of resurrection, you think about Sunday. For them, I don't think Sunday, at least initially, was a day that they had a great feeling about things that were going on. Peter could recall the time when he was with Jesus in the garden, and Jesus told him he was going to deny him. Peter can recall cutting off the high priest's ear and Jesus reaching up and putting it back on. We saw that. That little drama that we saw is so perfect, because it just helps us relate to Jesus and to relate to Peter and to the people that lived in that time. If they were in that time right now, we would question what was going on as well. In fact, if I were to tell you today that next week on Wednesday that God was going to miraculously lift the coronavirus from our country and miraculously stop all of the struggle, you would laugh at me. And yet, if on that day it happened, you would believe. Because experience has a real strong way of causing us to believe. And so when we think about these people on this first Sunday, we have to remember that their lives were lives that were caught up in who Jesus was and who he said he would be. And even though they had heard about his statement about death and that he was going to die and that he was going to be raised from the dead, they could not wrap their heads around that, because it was not something that was common. In fact, some of us have even questioned why they didn't believe, because they'd just seen Lazarus raised from the dead. So if you've watched a resurrection of a man from the dead, and then you have someone who's died close to you, surely would think that the healer could heal himself, but they didn't think that way. When the healer needs a healer, what do you do? And so they had lost all hope. Their grief was overpowering everything that they knew. And so on this Sunday morning, this Resurrection Sunday morning that we celebrate today, grief had filled their hearts. It was overpowering them. In fact, if you look at the verses in Luke 24:1, and it says here, but very early on Sunday morning, the women went to the tomb, taking the spices they had prepared. Consider that, just that statement. We often take it to Sunday morning, and they're walking up to the tomb, and they know he's going to be alive, and it's kind of like, that's not what it says. It says they were taking spices they had prepared to the graveside. They were going expecting to find death and a body that had been partially embalmed and needed to have more spices put around it. They were looking for a body. They were going to go grieve some more. These women who had gone, they were still thinking that Jesus was dead. Grief was a part of their lives. And it says early Sunday morning, while it was still dark, it says in John, that while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb and found the stone had been rolled away from the entrance. And she ran and found Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one whom Jesus loved. And she said, "They have taken the Lord's body out of the tomb, and we don't know where they have put him." Now, it doesn't say they've taken the Lord's body and he's resurrected. He's alive. It says they've taken the Lord's body, and we don't know where they put it. In other words, somebody stole the body. Jesus is still dead in their minds. Even in Mary's mind, he's still dead. He's not alive. Even though the body's gone, they're not connecting the dots. And I would have to say that if I was in their shoes, I would not connect the dots either, because grief has a way of totally consuming a life and a mind. And so when we look at them, we need to understand that this first Sunday morning was not a hallelujah Sunday morning for them, not initially, but it took time. You see, belief defeated grief because of the resurrection. Grief was there, but belief was starting to be birthed in their minds. As we move along, we see that the two disciples in the book of John decided to go check it out for themselves. So Peter and the other disciple started for the tomb. Now, the other disciple is John, the one that Jesus loved, it says. They both began running, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. Sure that they were having a bit of a contest at this point, trying to get there as fast as they could, one younger than the other possibly. Who knows exactly why, but it says that the first one, John, got to the tomb. He bent over and he looked in at the strips of linen lying there, but he didn't go in. Now, in this particular passage, there are three Greek words, and I won't give you the words because it doesn't really matter, but I want you to know that there are three Greek words that are used for the word see, to see or to observe something. And it says, he bent over and looked at the strips of linen lying there. Now, this word is the word for just noticing something, just seeing with your eyes. I was driving here this morning, and as I came to the stoplight at 3 and 65, I noticed that the light had turned green, and I went on through. That's the idea here. I noticed, didn't affect what I did, it just was there. And so John had just went in, and he just saw the linen strips lying there, and he didn't act upon it. And so we moved to Peter. And it says, then Simon Peter, who was behind him, arrived and went into the tomb. Just like Peter, very impetuous. Let's get to the bottom of things. Let's take care of what's going on. And it says, he saw the strips of linen lying there, as well as the burial cloth that had been around Jesus' head. And the cloth was folded up by itself, separate from the linens. Now notice that it says here, he saw the strips of linen. This one has to do with seeing and observing and getting to the bottom of what's going on. In other words, I saw something, but I wanted to investigate it further. That's the idea of seeing here. And so Peter is investigating further what he saw. And he sees the burial cloth that is there. And he says to himself, this is the way it was. This is the shape of Jesus' body. And the cloth folded around his head, separated from the base of the body, from the body to the head, laying there, as though there was a body in it, but there was no body. And so the first thing he understands is it could not have been stolen. The body was not stolen, because who takes a body and takes the linen wrappings off and leaves them as they were when they were around the body and then just takes the body? You see, they had seen Lazarus raised from the dead, and they knew that when a dead man comes out of the tomb, that he's wrapped in his linen wrappings, because they had to unwrap him. Here they see the linen wrappings there, and they are thinking to themselves, the body is not here. What is going on? They've never, ever experienced this before. Never seen this before. And then it says, and finally the other disciple, John, came into the tomb, and he went, and it says he saw and believed. Here's the idea of seeing something and understanding what was actually going on. In fact, it is quite possible that John spoke under his breath to Peter, he's alive. Because he saw and he understood, and it says belief was birthed at that point. He started to believe that Jesus was no longer dead. But then he's the one who wrote the scripture, and this is what he says right following that in parentheses. He says, they still did not understand from the scriptures that Jesus had to rise from the dead. Belief was starting to defeat grief, but it was in its infancy at this very point. We go from that point to a story in this particular passage of Mary Magdalene. And I'm not putting it on the screen. I'm just going to tell you the story because it's just Mary, and she's at the tomb. She'd gone there by herself, and she's weeping outside the tomb, wondering what has happened to the body of her Lord. And we know the gardener or Jesus comes up behind her and speaks to her, and all of a sudden she understands that it's Jesus, and she says, you're alive. And then Jesus says to her, I want you to go back and tell the disciples that I'm alive, and I'll meet them in Galilee. Now, very interesting, because when she tells the disciples that he's alive, there is no response. There's no recorded response of the disciples, quite possibly because they still did not believe. The next story, however, is a story from the upper room. And it says, that Sunday evening. Now, this is the evening of the resurrection. The disciples were meeting behind the locked doors because they were afraid of the Jewish leaders. You see, fear and grief were still clouding the mind and the thoughts of these disciples. And yet it says that suddenly Jesus was standing there among them. It says, peace be with you, he said. And as he spoke, he showed them the wounds in his hands and his side. Excuse me. And they were filled with joy when they saw the Lord. At this very instant, the experience of seeing Jesus began the belief process for these 10 men. You see, there were only 10 in the room. Thomas was not there. Judas had hanged himself, and so now they were down to 11 total. And Thomas was not present. But when Jesus comes in the room, he brings peace, and the peace overcomes the fear. And he brings joy, and the joy overcomes the grief. And so when Christ shows up, when he is present, when you experience who he is, he brings peace and joy into the room wherever he is. And these disciples at this point began to believe. Now it says in the following verses, it says one of the 12 disciples, Thomas, nicknamed the twin, was not with the others when Jesus came. And they told him, we have seen the Lord. They had seen the Lord. He was alive to them. But to Thomas, he says, I won't believe until I see the nail wounds in his hands and put my fingers into them and place my hands into the wounds in his side. Now, oftentimes we give Thomas a bad name or a bad time for this. We say he's doubting Thomas. However, if you think about the disciples before that, they were just as doubting as Thomas was. All the disciples struggled with belief until they actually had seen Jesus. And when Jesus shows up to Thomas, this is what it says, 8 days later, Thomas had to wait 8 days. They were together again, and this time Thomas was with them, and the doors were locked, and suddenly, as before, Jesus was standing among them. Peace be with you, he said there. Again, he brings peace and he brings joy to them when he comes into their presence. The experience of being with Jesus is an experience of belief. Then he says to Thomas, put your finger here and look at my hands, and put your hands into the wounds in my side, and don't be faithless any longer. Believe. And Thomas exclaims, my Lord and my God. When we meet Jesus, the resurrection is complete. You see, believing without seeing includes a special blessing. So that's the point, that's the question I have for you today. It comes down to us. He says, so we don't have the opportunity to see Jesus. I have never seen Jesus, but yet I believe. Many of you have never seen Jesus that you believe. And so there is a statement that follows this that Jesus gives us, and this is what he says. Then Jesus told Thomas, you believe because you have seen me. Blessed are those who believe without seeing me. See, the resurrection has a change in all of us. It should change us from the inside out. We come to grips with who Jesus is. They had a special blessing because Jesus was with them. And so when Jesus was with them, they don't need a special blessing. They have Jesus themselves. But when we come to faith in Jesus Christ, We need something special. We need a gift. In fact, that's exactly what God does for us. God gives us a special blessing, which is the gift of faith, the capacity to believe without seeing. That is what God gives to every person who has never seen Jesus yet believes. He gave us this gift of faith, the ability to believe without seeing where he's at. God opens our eyes. He sheds the unbelief. He brings us to the point where we can understand and we can see, and we can see Jesus without actually seeing Jesus. That's why for me, I look forward so much to the day when I will actually see his face. And until that day, I believe that he was raised from the dead. And I confess to you that he is the Lord and Savior. He is the one who has died for my sins. He has paid the penalty for me. When John was written, the book of John, when the Apostle John wrote it, it says this: "But these are written, these words that I've recorded in the Gospel of John, that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name." The purpose of explaining and witnessing to all the things that Jesus has done was that we may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that we may believe that he rose from the dead. It says in Romans that if you believe with your heart that God raised him from the dead, and if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, you will be saved. There may be some of you watching this that do not know, have not experienced the resurrection of Jesus Christ. You do not know who he is. You've heard his name, you know his name, you maybe have been in church all your lives, but you have never experienced Jesus. You've never known that he's been present to your life. The resurrection is just idle words. He's alive. And we say that every Sunday, every Easter Sunday, he's alive. And for you, it's just words. And I encourage you to this day to confess, to believe in your heart that Jesus was raised from the dead by God. Indeed, the resurrection is true and it's real. And to confess with your mouth, as I am doing, I'm speaking out loud and saying, Jesus is my Savior. He is the one who paid the penalty for my sin. It's not a matter of a prayer. It's a matter of speaking to God and saying, this is what I believe. This is what's in my heart. And I want you to be part of me. I receive your free gift of eternal life because of what Jesus has done, because he rose from the dead. You see, Jesus had to die. He had to turn the world upside down to turn the world right side up. If he hadn't died, we would not be forgiven of our sins. And yet it was his blood that was shed for our sins so that we can have eternal life. And so he turned the world upside down and then turned it right side back up again. Because if we believe, we will have eternal life in his name. You see, the resurrection is all about Jesus giving us life for who we are. I trust that you will actually do that this day. If you've never placed your faith in Jesus Christ, I ask that you would do that. And if you do, I'd ask that you would send me a text or call me. My number is 641-425-3887. Text me, call me, tell me that you have done that, because I would love to hear that you have placed your faith in Jesus Christ on this Easter Sunday morning. Or perhaps you're wondering, I'm still not sure, I don't understand how to do this, but I'm interested. Please call me also, 641-425-3887. It's my cell phone number. I put it out there so you can call. You can talk with me. I would love to talk with you about what God is doing in your lives and help you understand that Jesus is the resurrected God who paid the penalty for your sin so that you could have a relationship with him. May God bless you. Have a great Easter. Amen.